May 12th, 2020, regular town board meeting at 7 o'clock.
You ready to take measure alpha? All right, tell me when you're ready. Countdown.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, I'd like to welcome everyone to a regular Monroe Town Board meeting for May 12th, 2020. And with that, we'll have a roll call from the clerk.
Councilmember Hogan?
Here.
Councilmember Noonan?
Here.
Councilmember LeClaire?
Here.
Councilmember Donahue?
Here.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Here. And we also are joined by counsel for the town of Monroe, Carla Bittner, off camera, and we have the town clerk also with us off camera. So just board members are within the viewing range. So with that, I'd ask everyone to please rise or pledge allegiance.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. First order of business here, agenda item number one, is approval of minutes. These are the minutes for April 28, 2020, which was an audit meeting. And I think all members of the board were present for both of them. We also had the regular town board meeting on that day as well. If anybody would like to move adoption of those sets of meetings.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any comments, questions, or discussions on them? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item 2 on this evening's agenda is set future meetings and workshops. I do not have any at this time. I don't know if any of the board members need to schedule something.
No.
Item 3, I just want to give a brief update on COVID-19. We continue to update the Town of Monroe website with updates that are provided by Saratoga County. Most recent update for today is already posted. Just want to, and a synopsis indicates that there will be a Facebook Live event tomorrow, Wednesday, May 13, 2020, at 10 a.m. This event is intended to answer questions from our county residents related to COVID-19. It's about an hour-long event that will be hosted by the Saratoga County Office of Emergency Services Facebook page, and featured during that live event will be Nash Alexander, who is Chief Operations Officer from the Wilton Emergency Corporation, Peter Bardunius, who is Senior Vice President of Community Advancement for the Capital Region Chamber, Penelope Heritage, who's Director of Saratoga County Animal Shelter, Kathleen Medic, who's an RNVSN, Director of Patient Services for Saratoga County, our own Christine Moore, Superintendent of the Southlands Falls Central School District, and finally Todd Shimkus, who's President of the Saratoga County Chamber of Commerce. All the questions can be submitted by clicking the link that's available on our webpage. Just want to highlight the efforts that are underway regarding reopening, not only Saratoga County, but the state of New York. The state has released its plan for reopening, and it includes metrics that regions must meet before reopening can begin. And again, the metrics are listed on the Town Monroe website. Saratoga County is stressing that businesses cannot reopen until an executive order from the governor permits it. And the county continues to take action to address the governor's plan to reopen New York, working with other surrounding counties here in the region to reach the metrics. Once this reopening begins, it will take place in phases, and not all businesses will be allowed to reopen right away. It will be a phased-in process. And again, you can view that phased-in directive on the town's website. There's also a county dashboard, enhanced dashboard that has data available as far as what's happening around in the county by towns, and that is updated daily. Here in the town of Moreau, we continue to have town offices closed to the public. However, town government is up and functioning as you know, our residents expect it to. We've got all the departments operating. We have department heads in. We're still under the governor's directive of 50% reduction in staffing, and we're meeting those requirements. Even with the expansion or reopening, they should say, of regular hours for the town's transfer station, which we began last Thursday. I know that a lot of our residents are very appreciative of that because there's so many more home on a regular basis and doing a lot of work around their homes and need those services that our transfer station provides. So we're back up, we're fully staffed down there, and hopefully things are running smoothly now that we have the necessary staff there. Last Thursday, the town of Monroe held a mask and hand sanitizer drive here at the town offices. It was about a 3-hour event, even though we had billed it as a 2-hour event. From 10 to 12 p.m., we had individuals lining up on town property at 8 a.m., and it got to the point that by 9:30 a.m., we had traffic out onto 197, which obviously is a traffic hazard, and so we actually opened up the drive half an hour early, and we had a phenomenal turnout. Our staff and volunteers did a great job keeping traffic moving. We were handing out masks to everyone, even non-residents, if they requested it, because we want to take care of not only our residents, friends, but also our neighbors. And it was very successful. And I just want to point out the staff that were involved in that. They did an incredible job. We had Pete Chesky, who's our rec leader, and his staff, Bruce Sergi, who helped with setup. Pete actually stayed to help with the handout. In the assessor's office, we had Riley Egan, and in my office, Lisa Sperry, who helped set up prior to the event. We were also taking calls all day. Leanne McCabe, the town clerk, was very helpful because my staff was out participating in the mass drive. And then Jeff Cruz, after helping set up outside, also fielded calls in my office. So Lisa participated. Also want to thank those that were out handing masks and hand sanitizers out. They included town assessor Leah Cronin, also her senior assessment clerk, Riley McGeehan, Lisa Sperry, my secretary, and she was able to round up just about all the Sperry family as volunteers. So special shout out to Tom, Ben, and her daughter, Kate. We really appreciate them volunteering their time. We had Ed Trombley participating from the, he's the deputy commissioner, fire coordinator for the Office of Emergency Services at Saratoga County. And finally, directing traffic, which is probably the most important job to make sure nobody got hurt getting in here. We had Deputy Patrick Delano from Saratoga County Sheriff's Office, and special want to thank Sheriff Mike Zerlo for providing that assistance to his office. So it was a very successful event. I'm hoping to have another similar event in the near future. We have enough masks to hand out, and once we receive those, we'll get that scheduled and, you know, get everybody invited to participate with that. Also related to COVID-19, I spoke with Senator Jordan. She's doing she actually asked if I'd be interested in supervisor of the town of Monroe to sign on to a letter calling on the governor to reconsider the inclusion of Columbia County, Rensselaer County, Saratoga County, and Washington counties as part of the capital region area, so that the metrics don't keep us from opening any longer than we have to. The fact that we're all lumped in the capital region is not helping us open any sooner. So hopefully we're successful in the Senator's call for having that reevaluated. So I'll be signing on to that letter shortly. And that's all I have for COVID-19. Anybody have any questions? No? If not, I will move on to item 4 on the agenda, water department request. Jesse, our water superintendent, made me aware of essentially it was an emergency repair regarding the Farm Road sewer station pump, which is the one that's in the industrial park. If you recall, we've done repairs to some backup pumps. We've always had a spare on the shelf. And the one that is, there's two in the pit there. One of them went down, and Jesse asked for approval to get that repaired or to purchase a new one. So we priced out a new one. New one would cost $17,000, and we could do a rewind on the existing pump for $5,278. I thought that under the circumstances, that was probably a no-brainer. And so he has been working with Brian Marshall from Emmerich's Pumps. They have gone and ordered the parts for that, so that will be getting repaired, and you'll see a voucher on that in the near future. And that will be the spare one in case we need it down the road. So it's a little bit of insurance for about, a third of the cost. That's all I have for the water department. Item 5 on this evening's agenda is the highway department. We do have a couple of items that we need to address. The first one is, I know I've made board members aware, as we've gone through the HVAC upgrade down there, which is in conjunction with the roof replacement, we installed 5 new heaters, stainless steel heaters. And obviously, that requires additional natural gas compared to what was installed in there. Mm-hmm. And what we've come to learn, and I think I talked about this at a previous board meeting, is that when the new highway garage was initially designed, the service to that garage was not large enough. And so instead of increasing the service, they modified the plans to the garage to eliminate the draw of natural gas, meaning you didn't have the necessary heating and ventilation that was engineered for the highway garage. Fast forward today, that's a problem for us because now we have a line, we increased the requirement to appropriately heat and ventilate that building, and we still have the same size line. We were hopeful that we could come up with a program where we could schedule the 5 different heaters coming on at different times so they didn't all draw at the same time. And what the engineer found in running that scenario is that it wouldn't meet the minimum standards for airflow through the garage. So that means that is not an option. So what that means is we have to, in fact, go with a larger size natural gas line into the garage. So that's an additional cost for us. It wasn't in the budgeted cost for that highway garage upgrade or repair. And we are looking at, and these are estimates. I haven't got the hard numbers from National Grid, but I can tell you they're in the ballpark. If National Grid were to do the trenching and all the other work, we're looking at about approximately $9,243. If If the town does the trenching, we'll be looking at $7,745 to do the upgrade. So I guess it would be helpful if the board wanted to give me their thoughts on which direction you prefer to go in. My recommendation would be to have us do the trenching, save a little bit of money. We do have money that we can draw on for that upgrade. But, you know, it's an expense that we hadn't built into rigid project. Mm-hmm. So, if everybody's okay, and I've talked with Paul about this, we'll recommend that he do the trenching, and then we'll get the hard numbers, and we'll need a resolution to approve the work by National Grid. So, I'll keep you posted on that. And I have, if anybody wants a copy of all the engineering numbers, the metrics for that, I'm happy to share that with you.
Are we able to buy the pipe for less the cost than what National Grid can provide it for, too?
I can talk to engineers on that.
Experience.
Yeah. I mean, I was on the phone on a conference call with their government relations people because we were very close to the threshold for, I think, like 2 million BTUs. And with the system that we added, we were up around, I think, 2.4. So we were over the threshold by 400,000 BTUs.
Okay.
If I answered correctly. So that's not the kind of news we want to hear, but we want to do it right in my recommendation.
Is this a design deficiency? And I know it's been a long time. It's frustrating to go along and take a step back. Go along and take a step back. There's not a week or something.
At this point, for sure.
Maybe this is just me.
You.
Yeah, I know. If you don't.
We had our final construction meeting regarding the HVAC on May 7th. So that all that work's done. The only thing we have left to do, we can't do that until the roof goes on, is we're going to ventilate up through the roof instead of off the sidewall. But other than that, everything has worked out great. I encourage anybody to go down and take a look at it. There's my shiny stainless steel heaters hanging from the ceiling down there, so they did a nice job. And we had Ryan Smith from a professional engineering that was overseeing that, and Bernie Beckman from RV Mechanical, who was doing the work on site, the HVAC upgrade. So I'd like to thank them for doing what they said they would do, and anytime there's an issue, they're more than accommodating, so appreciate all their efforts on that. Also under highway, we're required to have by DOH backflow preventers, and so we had the inspection done here. It was right around May 7th, and again that highway, we had a backflow preventer that failed DOH requirements, which requires a replacement. Peter Olszewski is working, also handling buildings and grounds for us, was working with the inspector, and they actually had a proposal to make that repair, and it was from John's Plumbing Heating Solutions, LLC, and my understanding is that they didn't charge us a lot of labor on it because they were already on site, saved money on it. But in his report, he said on Tuesday, May 5th, The company made the rounds to complete the annual DOH inspections. We have six around town.
Two at Rec, two at Highway, the one bridge garage, and two here at Town Hall.
And as I indicated, that the one at Highway was malfunctioning. So we got a quote, and the quote was, this would be the replaced effective backflow preventer at the old Highway garage, replacing this thing, 1.5-inch RPZ backflow preventer with an Apollo lead-free double-check backflow preventer, as approved by Town and Borough Water Department, which just to be approved. It was to install union fitting on the new backflow preventer and also test it. And the quote was for $1,045. Obviously, because we're out of compliance with DOE, it had to be done right away. So I gave them the green light to go ahead and do that. And the report will be sent to the Department of Health, State Department of Health after that. So that's another issue that we're correcting down there. And I think that's all I have for the Highway. Item 6 on the agenda is, I have it as a Moreau Industrial Park project authorization. After talking with the lead on the project today, it turns out that his company has to sign the authorization letter. It's not the town of Moreau, however, they do require, as part of the process, a support letter from the town supervisor. So I'm going to give you a little background on what's going on down there, and then I'm hopeful that the town board is okay with me writing a letter of support, which does not commit the town to anything but is required so that they can move the process forward with National Grid. And this is the Moreau Industrial Park LLC. They are, as you recall, there's two separate owners in the park, the LLC and then Tom Moreau. And so the LLC is moving forward to finalize an agreement with a company, Nexamp, for lots 11, 12, and 13, which are now currently owned by the Moreau Industrial Park LLC. And what they want, these are less than ideal lots. They're looking for the ability to put a 3-megawatt solar generation facility down there. As the board is aware, through zoning, that's the only place in the town where you can construct and install commercial solar arrays. Obviously, there's a moratorium in place, so you know, we can't move forward the approval process, but that's a ways down the road. They anticipate that a lot of local plates and the moratorium will be lifted way before it's an issue for them. But they want to get their ducks in a row, they get the application in for the interconnect with National Grid. So the reason that the town of Moreau is involved is that they would like to buy a lot that we own, which is lot 6. I don't know if anybody's looked at the map recently, but lot 6 is not an ideal location for putting a business on, basically. So what they need is their 3 lots, our 4th lot, to tie into the interconnect. And so they will be coming back to the town to negotiate the purchase of that lot in the future. What they need now is, and I'll just run through the email here, they are saying that, and this is an email that they thought at the time the town had signed the consensus letter, which we don't. He indicated it's understood that for discussion with Nexamp, any and all solar deals done by Nexamp at the Moreau Industrial Park need to be facilitated through one property owner due to the requirement of Nexamp's interconnection process. That's where the town of Moreau comes in, because it can't be two property owners. So that's why they're signing that form. They want another support that we're going to be okay facility is up and running, the town will receive revenue, net revenue, all the net revenue from that facility after they pay their tax, real estate taxes, personal income taxes if they have to do that, and insurance costs. The way that they're going to structure it, they don't believe that they'll have to pay business income taxes on that. But that's when they have to be an agreement drawn up with the town and their company. I can't speculate, but I would say we're looking at probably $15,000 a year for that, mm-hmm. and plus the revenue would be so a lot. And again, taking advantage of lots that are not ideal for industrial or manufacturing. So if the board's okay with that, I will draft a letter. The board wants to see it before I send it. I'm happy to share it. But they want that to be submitted for the application process that they must do for National Grid through next year. So kind of a lot of moving parts on it. And the good news is, which I can't talk about in detail just yet, is that this project will be geared to providing green energy for at least one prospect that may be before the planning board this month, and a couple others. So they all tie together, but this is the first movement that we've had, serious movement we've had 20 years. So we're, especially in these economic times, it's nice to have a little bit of news to do our taxes. If the board's okay with that,
okay with it?
Do you need a resolution on that?
Let's do one.
All right, so the resolution, I would suggest, is worded that a resolution authorizing the town supervisor to write a letter of support regarding Moreau Industrial Park LLC's project for a joint project with NextAmp, which will include the existing lots 11, 12, and 13 that are owned by Moreau Industrial Park LLC, with the intent for a sale of lot 6 and then.
So
moved. Any discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. And again, that letter of support does not commit the town to anything. So I like saying that doesn't commit us to anything. And again, the purpose of that is NextAmp is telling Royal LLC that there can only be one owner for that application for two National Grid, which is the reason why we have to do that. And that's all I have for item 6. Item 7 I have listed as the dog control officer. At the last board meeting, I had indicated we received one or two applications from individuals interested in dog control position. Since that time, I had a meeting here at Town Hall. The supervisor from the town of Wilton, John Lamp, and their controller came up. They had called me prior to that visit to see if the town of Moreau would be interested in an intermunicipal agreement for dog control. I said, we're very interested in the benefit, each benefit from it. And so we had a great conversation, met for about an hour, actually here in this room, practicing social distancing. And I'd already had a conversation with the dog control officer. And after that conversation, they decided, because it got a little complicated with the town of Wilton Truck showing up in the town of Monroe, it became complicated. So what they did do is agree to allow their dog control officer to contract with the town of Monroe for coverage. So I spoke with him today. I got an application. I don't know if it's a complete application, but I got an application from him today. I think a clerk has a copy of it, or parts of it. It's the application. Anyway, I have it here. I don't know if board members have it. He is the dog control officer for the town of Wilton. He would be happy to, and I want to point out that prior to any possibility of him taking on this position, he had called to offer his assistance free of charge to help us for the past several weeks. And he actually has done that in the past week or so, where we had some issues that he took care of for us. So I wanted to, you know, thank him for that. But he is willing to do a contract very similar to the one that we had with our former dog control officer. And he's willing to do it for, he doesn't need a phone, he doesn't need any equipment. And he will do it for $1,200 a month. That's the board of the money.
That sounds promising. Is this, I received this on my end, is that what it is?
Yes.
So yeah, there's lacking some information, but.
Yeah, I think when you put it out, I didn't realize there were back pages on it. But his name's Joshua Vincic. He's lives at 141 Jones Road in Saratoga Springs. He's a retired New York City police officer. And he did that for at least 16 years. He's been a dog control officer for not Wilton for a number of years as well. So we've got the blessing from the town of Wilton to use him. I spoke with him at length several times over the past week. And, you know, with his background, I think he'd be a perfect fit.
Sounds great.
You know, we can continue to move forward seamlessly. I think he'll do a good job for us. My recommendation would be to authorize the supervisor to sign a contract for dog control services with the town of Wilton upon review by the town attorney.
You want the contract with the town of Wilton?
I'm sorry, with the individual.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it will not be with the town of Wilton. It will be with the dog control officer.
This is very similar to what with the town of Corinth?
Yes.
Okay. And, how long do you want the agreement?
So we talked about that, and he said, no, the year is fine. And I said, well, how about the end of December? How about through the end of the year? So we'll do December 31st if the board is okay with that.
I'm fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll have you resurrect the previous contract, make the necessary changes. The board's okay. I'll entertain a motion to authorize me to sign that contract after review by town.
So moved.
Second.
And you've got the figure in there.
I do. I don't have his name or anything.
Yeah, I'll give that to you. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any discussion?
It's a great solution to it.
Yeah.
We've had something that seemed to really do a good job with the job and get some experience. Yeah.
And the other thing is, too, you know, if the board wants to review the application that we have, there's some reasons. But, you know, this is an immediate fix. I know the county would be very happy to hear that.
And
then
there's some tough things going on when they look at her reports.
So I think that it's great, and I want to thank the town of Wilton for their willingness to work with the town of Monroe to help us solve the present need.
Does he have, will he have access to the information that we just started already? I think that there was one issue where the interdoc.
Yeah, so we will. I think we have two outstanding papers or one?
We, the same person. No, I only know one.
One,
same
okay.
Person.
He's aware of it, actually. He's been in contact with Alicia, and she brought him up to speed on what's going on.
Right.
Because he has been stuck in. So, and I also had my office get in the past year of reports, so he knew exactly what he had to do. So we had a roll call on that, or not yet?
You asked if everybody was in favor.
Okay.
And they all said yes.
All right, so motion carries. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. All right, thanks. Got a little sidetracked. The next item I have, think back in March, first week in March, I met with a representative from the Champlain Hudson Power Express project. For those that don't know what this project is, Champlain Hudson Power Express is a proposed high voltage direct current submarine power cable project that will link Montreal to New York City neighborhood of Astoria, Queens. And this this line is expected, I think it will have a bid in 2021 or 2022. It's been in the works for some time. It's a venture that's been developed by Transmission Developers Incorporated, or TDI, which is a Blackstone Group LP portfolio company. What this project would do is carry clean energy, private power generated Quebec, and wind power from eastern Canada and feed it directly to New York City. As we all know, New York City is in desperate need of supply for electricity. It's very challenging to get this generator, particularly from the MRC project off Niagara Falls, down to the city because it's not a DC line and there's a lot of loss by the time it gets to where it needs to go. And DC behaves a little differently, so it's very efficient getting that electricity down there. It's actually so efficient that the line that they're proposing will be buried in the river in Lake Champlain. It'll be this size, 2 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it'll all be underground. And where the town of Monroe comes in is that it will be coming out of the town. Out of the river in the town of Monroe, and have to cross the town road. So they need authority to put it underneath the roads. And so they're asking for a resolution from the town board which will permit that. And the total mileage of the line is 335 miles start to finish. So it's a pretty good size. And one of the things that really piqued my interest in talking with Rick Chase, who is their senior public affairs consultant, is that we'll get real property tax revenue from it. And using, I think he said 2015 assessment role when the project first started, they're looking at about $340,000 to $100,000.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's for that, for all the towns that insert what we got into those. So, you know, this is another source for revenue there. So, Carla, did you get a chance to look at that resolution?
I did look at the resolution. The resolution is fine. The resolution allows you to give them the consent to lay the line.
Right.
But there's also an agreement that goes with it. So the resolution says we agree that we're in agreement. So we're agreeing to agree.
So is that something that you want a little time on before we take it up?
You know, the resolution itself is fine. I have an opportunity to look at the actual agreement they sent over.
All right. Well, why don't, so if you're okay with the resolution, I don't think the clerk have a copy of it. So it's your version. You have a copy?
I have a copy of a version. I don't know if
that's the only version I have. The one that uses.
Is it filled in with the proper?
It is not filled in. But that's it. I mean, what's not filled in is merely that the supervisor. It's just the typos that aren't filled in.
You want to read it in that case? So that's the spirit of the clerk.
I can read it.
All right. Is that okay?
Sure.
The whole thing.
Well, so is it 2 pages?
Whereas Champlain Hudson Power Express, Inc., including its successors and or signs, CHPEI, is developing the Champlain Hudson Power Express project, an approximately 1,000 megawatt underground and underwater high voltage direct current electric transmission facility extending from the United States border with Canada to Queens, New York. And whereas the New York State Public Service Commission has ruled that the project will supply clean, renewable hydroelectricity to New York State and has issued a certificate of environmental compatibility and public need, authorizing the construction and operation of the project, including any amendments thereto. And whereas CHPEI has discussed the project extensively with the town board of the town of Moreau, as a portion of the project will be located within the municipality and will occupy certain privately and or publicly owned land. And whereas the project will provide significant economic and environmental benefits to New York State and the municipality in the form of lower electric rates, a reduction in greenhouse gas emissions, and increased jobs, including local jobs during the project's construction. And whereas the project will provide significant tax or payment in lieu of tax revenue to the Village of South Glens Falls, Town of Moreau, County of Saratoga, and School District of South Glens Falls during the course of its expected 4 to 6 year operating life. And whereas prior to construction within the municipality, CHPEI will require a road crossing agreement with the municipality that will include, at a minimum, construction responsibilities and plans, restoration and repair of damage, dispute resolution, bonding, insurance and indemnification provisions. And whereas once the project commences operation, it is not expected to require any services from the municipality. Now therefore be it resolved that the town board is fully familiar with and supportive of the project, including the use and occupancy of privately and or publicly owned land in the municipality. Two, that the board hereby grants its consent to CHPEI in accordance with Section 11.3 of the New York State Transportation Corporation's law to lay down, construct, and maintain its wires, conductors, conduits, and other fixtures in and under the streets, avenues, public parks, and all other publicly owned places in the municipality in accordance with the provisions of the certificate. Three, that the board commits the municipality to the taking of such further actions if and when reasonably requested by CHPEI and consistent with applicable law, as may facilitate the successful achievement of the project, including without limitation, executing a crossing agreement substantially in the form annexed hereto. Four, that the supervisor is hereby authorized and directed to take all appropriate measures to implement the intent of this resolution, and the town clerk is hereby directed to forward a certified copy hereof to CHPEI at the Peter Schuyler Building, 600 Broadway, Albany, New York, 12207. Five, that the board approves the inclusion of a copy of this resolution as a part of any filing made by CHPEI with any governmental bodies when and as required or requested by the same, and the use of this resolution in public statements made by CHPEI regarding host community support for the project. Six, that this resolution shall take effect immediately.
Someone like to move that.
Second.
The resolution and the supervisor's comment, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So
any discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. All right, thank you, Brett. So, what we'll do is, if you want, I'll split you with direct contact with Mr. Chase.
Sure.
Just to make sure it's to his satisfaction, and the road use crossing agreement can be vetted in more detail before we go back to the board. I know there's still time on this, but he very much wants to wrap up as he goes through the different communities along the way.
And then I will give you the building copy.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Item 9 on the agenda is municipal water
spoke with Council for the Village, we emailed back and forth after the last meeting to ascertain where things stood. She understood where the town was coming from with respect to having to get the water from the county, that we were in the process of doing that, and that we were looking to do a six-month agreement with the village. She had emailed me back saying that was fine, give me the agreement, when you give me the agreement, we'll do the 6 months, not a problem. I was in contact with the engineer for the town. I was emailing him with him today, trying to get all of the nuances, the cost of all that to put into the agreement, working with the agreement we have with Saratoga County and incorporating that into an agreement with the village. So once Saratoga County gives their approval and we get all this set, we should be able to have it signed. And I believe, Mr. Supervisor, at the last meeting, you got authority to sign it.
Yes.
So that's where things stand.
Good. Any questions on that? Thank you, Carl. And item 10 is supervisor items. First one is I received a letter from Nancy Carrington, who's president of the Historical Society of Rural and Southland Falls, regarding park festival place and some other activities they had planned for this year. Says, greetings, members and friends. I sincerely hope this finds you safe and well. I know what a challenge life has become as we work through the COVID-19 pandemic. Parks Bentley has remained closed during this time, of course. As we begin to see the state reopening in some areas, it remains to be seen whether historic sites, museums, etc. will be part of this. As president of the Historical Society, I am reluctant to put the faithful volunteers who work as docents on open days in the position of the public. I do not feel it would be safe to open until at the earliest, the later part of June or July, early July. There's still much work to do in the house to prepare for opening, moving furniture back in place, cleaning, placing displays. Please let me know your feeling on this. We can only hope and pray we can open for the nativity display in November and December. Washington County Band Concert / Flag Day celebration scheduled for June 19th has been canceled as well as a plant sale in early June. I have applied for a grant from Stewart's. They are granting money to nonprofits for lost fundraising opportunities. The dedication to the historical marker has also been postponed. It has been suggested that perhaps we could do some kind of online programs for Parks Bentley. One suggestion was to do our outreach programs. Another was to have members record their experiences as a Historical Society volunteer to put on the website. If you're interested in working on these or have other ideas, let me know, please. I send prayers for health as we continue with social distancing. Sincerely, Nancy Carrington, President. So, I want to give you an update of what's going on there. I did sign the check that we provided to them to help offset some of their operating expenses, and I think they received it this week. So, I just want to give you an update on sewer. At the last board meeting, the board authorized me to sign an agreement engaging the LaBerge Group to complete an application for the Northern Borders Regional Commission to receive the possibility of $1 million in additional funding for a sewer project. They did that 2 days after I authorized that agreement on behalf of the town, and so we'll keep our fingers crossed on that. Just want to update the board and members of the public on what's going on with the sewer project. We continue to move forward. Obviously, with the COVID-19 situation, our approvals with DOA, DOT right away, things like that, the people working from home is going to slow the process down.
But I'm talking with Don of the LaVerge Group. He still thinks we're on track for a completion of the project early to mid-2022. If you recall, we were looking at a wrap-up in the fall of 2021. So just a little bit of delay. But the very good news is that, if you recall, we authorized a redesign of the system to a low-pressure system. And when we did that, the total project cost went from an estimated $16 million down to $14.8 million. And now we're asking for additional $1 million in funding. So those two items, coupled with the fact that we've increased our assessed value, we all haven't adopted yet, but it's projected to increase the assessed value in the sewer district, which, if you recall, when we put the financials together, was predicated on the fact that we had $54 million assessment. We're going to be adding another $9.6 million to that. And as I have said all along, the greater the assessed value is in that district, the lower the cost will be for the individual users, because it'll be able to be spread out more based on the potential for development or actual development that's coming in and causing capital improvements on the property. And a lot of that was attributed to Hudson Headwaters coming online, or coming on the tax roll. They're tax exempt, as you know, it was a not for profit, but for the purpose of calculating debt service and sewer fees, they're still considered, you know, a regular property owner for that purpose. We had another $700,000 come on the rolls for a storage unit that came on that was expanded. And we have some other projects that won't be coming on to this roll. They certainly will for the next year's roll. So it's all good news for sewer district users, especially with that $1.2 million in savings. We're on track. Where we stand today is LaVerge Group continues to work on right-of-ways. I know they're working with the town attorney on that. We're looking at the best location for the pump and where to actually put the sewer line. You know, the water line bounces back and forth on each side of the road. We know that where the cemetery is, there's not enough room in the DOT right away. So we're going to have to look at going back over on the other side of the road, and you have to have 2 feet of space between the water line and the sewer line. So we're working through those challenges. If you drive up and down Route 9, you'll see survey markers out there. So the work continues. We're still on track for the previous schedule to try and get bid documents out for middle of this year. All things considered, the price is going in the right direction, and not too far off the mark for completion. So,
thank you for your perseverance on time and easy to be distracted by and consider going on. And it would be easy to say, well, we're all set, we've got it. You want to set that. You move forward and you continue to look for ways to save money to the cost. When it's going to happen either way, you still are trying to do more to make it better for the users.
Right, and I have to thank the board for and it was actually the previous board, but the thought continues with the new board. We had committed to the property owners in that proposed district that we were going to do all we could to reduce their costs. And I think we're holding up our end of the deal on that. We've demonstrated that with an additional grant application. We've demonstrated that by re-engineering projects so it doesn't cost so much. And so I think, you know, as far as a good faith effort on our end, we held up to our end of the deal.
Thank you for your
part. Thanks. So, any questions on the sewer?
One thing, I know we all gave comments last meeting, take these grants. And it was concerning to me that about 3 days later, I read an article in the paper that the state budget officer said the state emergency program won't be giving out any more grants, or, you know, there probably won't be any more grant money. You know, and that just concerned me because, you know, here we are allocating 3 days later. It's like, we don't have any money to give up. Hopefully, they'll find some money somewhere and we'll be able to get these grants. But like I said last meeting, it's worth a shot. You know, anything we can do, like you just said, to reduce the cost for the people in that area. That did concern me when I read that in the paper. It was like days after we allocated the funds. And it kind of got my attention. Hopefully that they can push that thing through and get us on.
So the good news is that's a non-factor because these are federal dollars, so the state can't take it back.
Yeah, but we were looking for two different grants. And one of them is separated by the state, the other state federal, correct?
The northern border is federal dollars.
That's the federal and the state.
So what I'm referring to is the initial $16 million project. We got $4 million in funding. Even though it's, you know, comes through the state, it's actually federal dollars, so that's guaranteed. The state can't pull that back. So we already know we have access to $16 million. We budgeted the project at $16 million. We got $12 million at zero interest for 30 years because of the hardship loan. So we've already got a $1.2 million cushion in there. We're applying for another $1 million from the northern border. Funding.
And that's federal money.
That's federal money. So
what about that one? Did we follow through with the, because there's two different grants?
So we authorized. I don't think that's the application date on that is until midsummer. The one of them was like we had to do it. That's why we
got it. That's why we
got it. So that was a federal one. Sure. So yeah, the other one they'll be applying for in the next several weeks. I believe that's state dollars.
Right. And that's one of the concerns.
Yeah.
The state dollars aren't there. I hate to see this invest money going after it.
Yeah, but that's all icing on the cake. Because we've already not only have we got guaranteed financing, we've got a guaranteed grant. We cut the project by $1.2 million. So we have, you know, we're in good shape financially
with that. Right. And I guess if you look at it, I said last meeting, you said, you know, sometimes you've got to take that chance of pushing the envelope and hopefully we can get something back. And I think it's a good investment, but it's a big concern.
Any other questions? So that is sewer. Update. I received an email from Don Nichols, the executive director of the Monroe Community Center. She's asking if the town would be okay to utilize the old town hall for as part of a mini food distribution for the general public on Thursday, May 28th. She indicates this would be a much smaller scale than the one the Salvation Army has done, but would help our local community. She also indicates that they have seen a 60% increase in people using the food pantry during the pandemic. And she says it would be ideal if they could set up outside the old town hall. She said they would not need heat or lights turned on, just access to the building for a couple of people. I said I'd bring that to the board. I didn't think this would be a problem with that, but obviously, you know, the board has a wish on that.
All right, that would be great.
So I'll let her know that that's not a problem. And she can move forward with that. And it's for a great cause. I got this late this afternoon. I have done a supervisor's items otherwise. Because it is a resolution, I would have added this as a separate agenda item. It's in relation to the resolution that the board passed at the last board meeting authorizing me to sign a letter of engagement with the LaVerge Group to apply for the Northern Borders Grant. But as part of that application, there has to be, as we've done in the past, a formal resolution for that purpose. And I think the clerk has a copy of that.
I do.
Would you like like to read that?
Sure. Town of Monroe, resolution authorizing the supervisor to apply for and receive funding under the Northern Regional Commission NBRC grant. Whereas the Northern Border Regional Commission is a partnership between the federal government and the states of Maine, New Hampshire, New York, and Vermont. And whereas the mission of the NBRC is to provide investments to job-creating projects that help reduce poverty, unemployment, and out-migration. And whereas under said grant program, applicants are required to authorize an official representative to file the application. And whereas the town of Monroe plans to extend sewer infrastructure in the Route 9 commercial corridor to further future economic development efforts. And whereas the town of Monroe is eligible to apply for an infrastructure grant up to $1 million, which must include a 50% local match. And now, therefore, it is resolved that the supervisor is hereby authorized to execute and file an application on behalf of the town of Monroe with the NBRC grant. And be it further resolved that the supervisor is hereby authorized and designated as the representative and to act as such in connection with the application to provide additional information as may be required, including all understandings and assurances contained in the application. And be it further resolved that the supervisor is hereby authorized and directed to execute any contract and or agreement, executive's permission to sign any and all NBRC investment documents that bind the town of Monroe. And be it further resolved to the extent all or any actions hereby authorized have been executed and or performed by the supervisor, all are hereby ratified and confirmed, and this resolution take effect immediately.
Thank you, ma'am. Somebody would like to move that resolution.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Again, if I didn't get it, I got the 241 today, we would have had on the agenda. I just put the agenda on the 210. Next item I have on the supervisor item, I just want to give an update. For some time now, actually for many years now, we've had an issue with high water table. Down by the corner of 197 and 32. And while it's not a town issue, I have been working with the state for almost 2 years now, trying to get some sort of resolution there. I spoke 2 days ago with the engineer that is handling that for New York State DOT. Obviously, they're on the reduced work schedules. I think they only have 30% of their staff in any given day. And we've had a little springtime water tables high. You can see the water from the road. And we've looked at many different, the state has looked at many different possible solutions. And every time they investigate it, there is no solution. And this individual spoke with Blue Niels, who you all know, telling us what their stormwater situation program here in town of Monroe. And the only possibility that they have, they indicate it's not going to be a cure-all because there's less than a 2% grade to get the water from the pipe under 197 down toward the intersection of 32 and 197. 2% grade water doesn't really flow that quickly. So their plan is, whenever they get back to work, is to clean out a ditch going through the woods there toward Southbridge. And while that's not going to drain the area, at least give it a place to flow to at the level that it is. So it's not the news that the residents want to hear. They've been pretty vocal about it. They indicated it's not a town issue, but I have been working to try and help them with that. And I'll continue to work with State DOT on it. Obviously,
Yes.
I stopped in as well from that driveway today about the water issue on 32 that kind of property dealt with. And he assured me that that is not a closed case, that there's still things that need to be done to alleviate that situation, but that it might take until mid-fall to get that taken care of. But he is also assured me that he will not sign off on that until things are in better condition down there.
Right, yeah, I've been in contact with the neighbors in that area. I'm off letting them know what's going on.
Good. Thanks.
That's not me, though.
No, it's, I can remember it being an issue two administrations.
I lived in Woodford Estates in 1978. Had a large dog. Still had a dog over the field. It's not that developed. It came a point that they started making holes in that development. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking, these people aren't going to have dry bases, because as you looked in those holes as you walked around, that's a dry, sandy area. There was a considerable amount of water in the base in those holes. So it's not new. It's not, it's been here 40 years.
And as you recall, I think you were on the board.
Yes, I was. That was the first time the board did.
I heard geologists came in because there were a lot of unhappy neighbors in that area and finger pointing going on. So we brought professionals in cost to the town, and they pretty much indicated that it's, you know, the town has no culpability, and it's basically what happens in nature in that location, maybe the type of soil that it is, and of course, historic high water. So, you know, it's very unfortunate that those folks have to be faced with that. But, you know, there's not a good solution.
That's in a lot of parts of the world. I don't know if you don't want this in a row. If you want,
right.
I do live all the time. Yeah. It's just, this area drains to the ocean, so we're going to have
a lot. Try being on the other side of 197, it's all heavy clay. So that's one of the, we talked about this one. Peter received communication from Carol Walden. Everybody knows Carol, her husband is the town justice here. And she reached out to Peter to inquire about the possibility of donating a bench and a tree at the rec park in memory of a loved one who had recently passed away. I thought it was an awesome idea. I told Pete to let him know that I thought it was a great idea, and thank her for her extreme generosity in doing something like that. I don't know how the rest of the board feels about it, but I think it's a great idea.
Nice gesture.
Yeah, so I will give him a green light on that. Next item I have under supervisor items is I just want council to give a brief update. As you know, we have two moratoriums in place. One's on multi-family housing, the other is on solar. In the town of Monroe, we have moratoriums that are clock is ticking on. I want to get those issues addressed before the end of the moratorium period. I know council's been working, I think, with NYSERDA and others, including myself, to try and formulate a draft that we can get to the board for review, comment, input. So I just have a really brief update for the board.
Sure. The moratorium will end August 30th. So I know that sounds like a long ways away, but we all know now how fast time really does go. So in order to move this forward and not have to extend the moratorium again, because I know that is not what the town board wants to do, Jim Martin and I have been working on both the solar law and the multifamily housing law. The solar law, a draft should be to the supervisor by Friday. to give to everybody. The solar law, the budget, as you all know, the budget has, the state budget has a new, whole new renewable energy portion of it. And the law was passed having to do with 25 megawatt and up have to go through this siting process. It's supposed to be quicker than the regular process, but it also removes pretty much all local control. There are some tweaks in it. The law got a little better as it went through the budget process, but it's still, there's some concerns. So Jim and I are talking today about how we can work through our law with those concerns. With respect to the multifamily law, same thing. Jim and I were chatting. We went through the zoning code earlier this morning just to make sure we have all of our pieces of how we're going to present it. I have a memo that's halfway done that's going to go to you folks to talk about the changes that will be added in the multifamily law. So I anticipate having these to the board within the next, everything to the board within the next few weeks. It's local law. Local laws have to go to public hearing. You know, we're kind of in a weird state now where they don't really want you to have public hearings, but you can have them on virtual public hearings if you want to. So we have to play around with the timing for that because that will take about a month or so to do. Once you approve the language of the draft, then it takes about a month to get that up. So they're moving along. I have an email out to Jennifer at NYSERDA today to chat with her some more. I did not get an email back by the time of this meeting, but we are in contact. So that's kind of where things stand right now.
Okay, good. Thank you for that update, Carla. Another item I have under supervisor items, Pete received a call, I think it was today, maybe yesterday. I can't remember, it's all blurred, but the principal of the middle school inquired about the possibility of having a graduation parade through our recreation park, whereby kids would drive through the cars, the parent cars, teachers and staff would be parked along the side of the road in cars or next to the cars, maintaining social distancing. You know, in the early stages, before you got too far, you wanted to know what the town thought about that. I said I'd bring it to the town board for discussion. So I don't know how the board feels about that. My feeling is that, you know, if they're in vehicles and they're moving, it's a great idea for them to see the teachers before school's out one last time before summer begins. It's a great gesture in the part of Southland Falls Central School District. But
I think if they maintain the point of social distancing, since that's what we're expected to do right now, I think it's a great idea. So many of these drive-by things that have happened, though, people stop and they get out and they, you know, they run over people or they do it. I don't understand that part of the whole drive-by. It's a drive-by, they don't stop. So if they can maintain that part, get that message out there, like, because we don't want that on our watch, I guess, where we're trying to maintain this municipality or a local government, and then all of a sudden we okay this, and it seems to appear as if it's not that big of a deal if we don't follow the rules, but it is a big deal right now, even if some people personally don't believe that it is something we need to follow. So I think it's a great idea if the message that we would like to maintain, the idea of social distancing, thing, it moves, it doesn't stop, so someone can hug their baby teacher because they just don't care. You know, and they need to hug that first. Well, that really can't happen. You know, we have to keep this moving. So, I think it's a great idea.
Well said, I agree.
Everybody else?
I will agree with
you. All right, I will. I'm not saying, I don't think they're so far along that it's definite. Before they started getting into the logistics of it, I just wanted to make sure that they're working with that. So, I will report back to Peter on that. The last item I have under supervisor items, actually the town clerk brought it to my attention. She has been in contact with one of the commissioners of the Board of Elections at Saratoga County regarding the upcoming Democratic primary, which I believe may be held in needed to run an election. And as everyone knows, we have 3 polling places in town, 4 polling places. And one of the items that came up was the possibility of maybe only having one because it's a primary. And not a whole lot of people involved in the primary, it probably won't be a large turnout to have it at one location. And I think, did he ask if he wanted it? It was a possibility of using town hall, or?
He asked what our thoughts would be if we might be able to use town hall as the one polling place.
So the question would be, is the town okay with one polling place? And also, would we be willing to open a town hall for that purpose?
What is the alternative?
And 4 polling places. 3 other polling places.
Yes, or maybe condense those 4 places and have one polling place out of the mix of those 4.
Yeah.
Everything's really up in the air right now, and I think they're just looking for ideas and suggestions and possibilities from our town board, you know, if it moves forward like that.
Are the schools still considered the polling places?
So, 2 schools, or 2 elementary schools are usually polling.
Middle school, yeah.
And I'm just curious because, and I don't know the details on this, but I know the restrictions that have been placed on schools for who they can allow in right now are pretty strict. So I want you to know if that's even an option at this point. So, I mean, we staff members aren't even allowed in. If you go into a school, the custodian essentially has to follow your tracks and sanitize every inch of where you were in the building. So that's why they're not allowing anybody in the building. So I wonder if schools are even an option. Okay. I mean, if we have regular cleaning going on here and we are not on that special list of prohibited places, then I'm okay with being town hall being used, but again, with the idea of social distancing.
Well, obviously, we'd have to follow the guidelines by board of elections.
Right.
We would just be given the okay to use the facility, right. And then they would have us have whatever that means.
And they'll figure it out with schools as well. So I guess if we're just one more additional option for them to have, I'm okay with it.
It does. So the only hitch in the works would be that there's a board meeting scheduled for that night. So we would have to move the board meeting. Yes.
All right. So in May or first of June, we can schedule. Well, we'll wait and see what's going on.
Right.
As we get closer, we'll just move the board.
Okay, I will let them know.
Okay, good. That's all I have for supervisor items. Item 11 on the agenda is committee reports. Anybody have a committee report?
No.
Okay. Does anyone have anything else for the open session? If not, entertain a motion to adjourn. Thank you.
Second.
All in favor?